So let's begin. We're on today. We're on Daf Ayin today. We got to two lines down. The Gemara says Tanan. Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. The Gemara has been discussing the topic whether or not when a part of an animal comes out, part of Bechor comes out, if it comes in piecemeal. So at the moment, if only less than a rov comes out, it's not kadosh. But if the end of rov comes out, do we say l'mafreya that which came out already was also kadosh or not? And the opinion of Huna of Yeshay's Daf was that it was Kadosh. So the Gemara quotes now two lines down on Daf Ayin from our Mishnah in the Perek here, Tanan. The Mishnah says, I'm a Vakeres, a Behema that's being a Vakeres that hasn't had children yet, so it's giving birth to its Bechor. Hamakasha Lele, it's having a hard time giving birth. Mechatech Eva, if a person were to cut off the limbs of the Bechor that's being born, well, piece by piece, umashech leklavim, and you can throw it to the dogs, you give it to the dogs, there is no kedusha. So my love is the case of the mission, not a situation or mechatech umeniach, where you cut off the pieces and you leave them aside, and then even though rove it came out, you could still throw it to the klavim. So we see, amris, if we said before, lemafreya hu kadosh, so if according to Rav Huna, that when you're cutting and meniach, and you leave it aside, although an issue when the evarim are being cut off, it's fine, but if at the end, the rove came out, so shouldn't we say, l'mafreya, all the different limbs are going to be kadosh, and it should be covered, b'mbarle, it needs to be buried, all the evarim. So the Gemara is assuming, the Mishnah is a situation, even though it says, mashech l'klavim, it's saying you throw it to the dogs only after you've left everything out, your meniach, your mechatech meniach, you leave it over, and even though rove came out, we don't say it's kadosh, we rather throw it to the dogs. So this is akashia to the Shita of Rav Huna. And where it says, lo, hacha b'maya skina, and the case is here, b'mechatech u'mashlich, when you cut off and you throw it right away, each limb that comes out, so the first, the leg comes out, you cut it off and you give it to the klavim. Another leg comes out, you cut it, you give it to the klavim. So at that point, the rove hasn't yet come out, that's when you're allowed to throw it to the dogs. If it's a situation where you cut off the limbs and you leave it over on the side to see what's going to be, and then turns out that rove of the Bechor comes out, so then the lach will be ma'ayi kaver. Then yechanami, even the Mishnah would say, you should bury it. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, that our Mishnah is only a case where you cut it and throw it to the dogs immediately. So then, but if it was mechatech u'meniach, you would have to bury it in the end of the day. So then the Gemara says, adetani seifa. From the fact that the Mishnah, the Sefer of the Mishnah teaches us that Yatzar Rubo Yikaver V'Niftva M'Nabachora, the Mishnah says once Rova comes out, you have to bury the remaining part of the Bechor that comes out, and it's Pater, the next animal born is not Chayv and Bechor. Liflog V'Lisne B'Didei. The Mishnah should have made the following distinction and say, Bamed V'Amamurim, when is it true? B'mechatech u'mashliach Ever, when you throw it to the dogs limb by limb, only then do you have to bury the remaining part, but not the initial part. Aval Mechatech u'maniach, but had it been a case where you cut off the limbs of the Bechor and you leave it over to the side, so then the Mishnah should say, that's Yikaver as well. Why didn't the Mishnah address it? If the Mishnah does address cases of Kavura, it should have said this case also. If Mechatech u'maniach is Kavura as well? And the Gemara answers, Hachi Nami Kamar, that's exactly what the Mishnah means to say. It's included in the Mishnah. B'meh Devar Mamur, when is this true? B'mechatech u'mashich, when do you say that the first parts are thrown to the dogs, the remaining part is buried? Only when you're mechatech u'mashich. Aval, but if it's a case, mechatech u'meniach, if you are cutting off the limbs and leaving them off to the side to see what's going to be, then it's nase kimishu yata rubo v'yakavir. It's as if the robe of the animal came out already, in which case we say all the evarim that were already placed down, the mafreya is kadosh, and ena chanami would require kavura, like the shita of Rav Huna. So that ends the yesterday's discussion. The Gemara now raises a number of interesting questions that come out, much of which is probably not relevant that ever comes up, but we're going to learn some important principles from these halachas nonetheless. So what does the Gemara say? Gemara asks the following question, Ba'i Rava. Rava asks, Halchu be'evarim acha harov olo? When it comes to the evarim, do we go based on the majority of the evar, or do we not go based on the majority? What does that mean? Halchu be'evarim acha harov hechidami. What does it mean, this question? Let's clarify this question. Ilaim, if you tell me it means, kagon shiyata rov Bimiyut Ever. Let's say the case is where rove of the animal comes out, but what pushes it over the scale, over the tips over the scale, the 50%, is a miyut of one Ever. So you have, let's say, a leg. So a miyut of that leg comes out, and that makes rove of the animal already born, But most of the leg is still inside the behema. So what do you do based on this case? We'll read the Gemara, then we'll read Rashi to make this all come clear. So he says again, Hechidami ilema kagon shiyata rov. If rov of the animal came out, bimute aver, with a minority of one particular aver, that tipped the scale. If you call me baile, the shaila is, hai miut dibarai, that miut which is outside the mother now. Basa rov de aver shadinale. Do we throw it based on the rov or its aver itself, which is really inside still? And we don't view this as rov being born? Or do you go based on most of the Ubar which was born, and then we would consider it rove born? So you hear the question again? You have a leg. A leg. Meat of the leg is outside, and rove of the leg is inside. If that meat of the leg is going to tip the scale of the overall Uber being born, now if you include that as being already born, it is physically outside, so do we view that now, it tipped the scale and rove of the Uber is born? Where since rove of that leg is still inside, even the meat is going to be considered inside as well, even though it's not, and we would not view it as the rove of the Uber being born. So if that's the Shaila, so then, Pshita, de lo shafkinan ruba de Uber, vaslinan basa rove aver. That's a pasher din, that we would never ignore rove of the Uber and say that that meat of the leg goes based on the rove of the aver. Meaning that is pashut, that miut of the leg will be viewed as outside with rove of the uber. That's a pashut shayla. So ella, kigon shiyotze chetzio barov aver. Let's say half of it was born, half the animal, with rove of an aver, with most of the leg now. So now what happens is, what do you do with the meat of the leg that's still inside? Do we view that meat of the kamibayle, hahu meat de begavai, that meat of the leg that's inside, do we say, maule mishte basarov? Could that be viewed as being part of the outside, even though it's not physically outside, even though 50% of the whole animal is outside, 50% of the animal is inside? But the leg, rove of the leg is outside, meat of the leg is inside. Can we view that meat that's inside following the leg and consider it halachically as if rove of the uber was already born? That's what the Shaila is, says the Gemara. Now the real question, Rashi, is what's the relevance of all this? Rashi, the relevance is whether it be matil mum. The halacha is you'll have to be matil mum on an animal, on bechor, if it hasn't yet been born. If a bechor is already born, it's also to create a mum, to cut off its ear or leg or whatever you're cutting off. That's also to do, but before it's born to this world, you can be matil mum. So we have to know, if rove has already been born, you can't be matil mum on that which remains inside. That's why this question is somewhat relevant. So that's the shiloh. So again, the shiloh that we're addressing, just one more time, is that half the animal has been born. And one limb, rove is outside, meat is inside. Do we view the meat as being also outside following the rove of the aver? In which case, we view the animal as being born already? Or no, since the meat is inside, it's viewed as inside, and the animal is only half born and not considered yalid. So what's the din? The Gemara says, Tashma, yata rubo, hareza yikaver. If rove of the animal is born, the law is you have to bury it. Rove is enough. You don't need the whole animal. So my rubo, what is the Mishnah teaching as rubo? Ilema ruba mamish, if it's really referring to real rove of an animal being born, ad hashcha lo ashmina and derubo kikulo. Up until this point, have we never heard of the klal that rubo kikulo? Everyone knows that halacha rubo kikulo. That can't be the din the Mishnah teaching us. That's way too obvious. So it can't mean rubo of regular rove. Ella, lav, is it not talking about the case when the Mishnah says rove, yata rubo, what does it mean? Kigon shiyata chetze berove aver, where half of the animal is being born with the rove of one aver, the rove of one aver makes it chetze. Meaning, we view the meat of that aver, baser the rove of that aver, and it tips the scale to halachically view this animal as being fully born. Is that not the case? In which case, we've just answered the question, that the meat of aver that's inside follows the rove of that aver outside, which tips the scale to being rove of the uber being born. And the Gemara says, lo, and that's not the case here. It's kigon shiyata rubo b'miut aver. The situation where most of the animal was born with a miut aver, with a different case now, a leg where only a minority part of the leg was sticking outside, and it's telling us, kamash malan, where's that miut go? Again, different scenario now. You have a leg, the only part of the leg is outside. And if we view that part of the leg outside, we tip, it's a rove of the animal's been born. But most of that leg is still inside. So where does that mir go? Does a mir, is it viewed halachically as still being inside as part of the rove of that leg, and it's not as if the animal was born? Or do you view a mir as, since it's physically born, we view it as being born, in which case, rove of the ubar, in fact, is born. And the Gemara is telling us that's taka we're learning, kamash mulam, the lo shafkinan rubo de ubar, de behema, vazim basar aver. That's a mir of the leg. It will not leave the rove of the entire animal to follow its leg itself, its particular aver, to tell us that we say the mir goes basar the rove of the uber. That's what we learn from this din of rubo, harei zet yikaver, but it doesn't have any bearing on the question of when rove of the aver is outside making a chetzio, how do we view the meat of that particular aver that's inside? Is it going after that which is outside, or does it remain on that which is inside? So that's the Gemara ends. We don't have an answer. Gemara now asks a different question. Ba'i Rava, Rava asks, Karcha b'siv mahu. So let's say when the Bechor is coming, being born, we know the way Bechor becomes Kadosh is through Peter Rechem. It touches the Rechem of the mother as it comes out. So let's say it's being wrapped in a sieve. Sieve is some type of a leaf from a lulav tree of some sort. So it's wrapped in a sieve, so it doesn't touch the Rechem of the mother. So it's being covered. Mahu, what's the din? Will the animal still be a Bechor? Or betalisa, let's say it's wrapped in a beged of some sort. Is that going to be a chatzitza or not going to be a chatzitza? Bishil yaso mahu, let's say it's in the amniotic sac of the animal being born. Is that also going to be pata from bechor because it doesn't mamish touch the rechem? So the Gemara says, wait a second. That last question of shil yaso, the shil yaso orcho, that's normal. That's the derech of leida. That no one would ever think that that's going to serve as a chatzitza. That's the part of the calf being born. So Gemara says, no, karchaso, so that wasn't really a shy. So then the Gemara says, ela b'shilya acheres mahu. Let's say it was separated by a different shilya, a different amniotic sac, not its own. Will that view, will that be considered a chatzitza or not? So then the Gemara says, another case, karchaso v'achzaso v'yotziyaso mahu. Let's say, what's karchaso mean? Take a look at Rashi. Four narrow lines up, Rashi says, Karchaso isha biyadeh, the woman who's the midwife of this animal, is wrapping her hand around the animal, pulling it out, Votsiyasa, v'hifsiku yadeh beino levein arechem, and its hands are between the animal, the calf being born, and the rechem of the cow. So mi'am minan, do we say, kevin de orchehu, leileid as a behema asa laf chatzitza, since that's normal that a woman serves as a midwife, if you will, as the calf, that's considered orche, that's normal, and it's no different than the shilya separating it, which is not a problem. Or no, do you say it's not normal? So on that issue, Tosus takes issue with Rashi, how Rashi could be describing an isha that's helping the midwife. We're the midwives with the cows. He's referring to a roa, a shepherd. So he changes it to referring to a shepherd. I'm not sure there's a fundamental machlokas here, just a mitzias machlokas, I don't know exactly. But he says it's referring to the shepherd, not a... Now, Isha, see, maybe it's referring to a sister being born with it. It's a different shot here, but either way, there's something separating between the Bechor and the Peter Rechem. So the Gemara says, so Mahu, what's the din back inside? Hey, Chidami, what's this case here? Ida nafik derech resha patarse. If the animal, remember, the Isha Roa can't really help out until some of the animals already come out. So if the calf is coming head first, the head already came out, then it's, she sticks her hands, or the Roa sticks its hands in to pull out the rest. Well, once the head comes out, that's already considered a born, and that's already a bechor. That can't be the shayla. So Ella the Gemara says it's referring to the nafik derech miraglosav, where the animal came backwards, came out legs first. The legs coming out first is not considered peterechem. So that's the shayla at hand here. So we don't have an answer. So now the Gemara gets really interesting. Then what happens in a different scenario? What happens bilaso chulda votsiyasa mahu? Let's say a weasel, okay? So put its mouth in the rechem of the cow and swallow the calf. So the calf never came into this world. The calf was born from the cow into the mouth of the chulda, and then botziyasamahu, and then threw it out of its own rechem. I think the rechem of the chulda, if I'm understanding correctly, and then it went out. What's the din? Is that going to be considered a bechor or not? A strange case. I'm not fully understanding what happened.
It spit it out,
yeah. So the way it says here, it says, swallowed its fetus and drew it out of the womb. So I guess, and then spit it out. I guess it spit out from itself, but it came from the womb of the cow, but it came into the mouth of the chulda. Is that considered being born or not being born? I don't know. So then the Gemara says, hotziyasa, So ha'apikte, it came out. What's the shaila? It went through the rechem of the mother of the cow. We don't care where it goes to, if it goes to the mouth of the weasel. So it went through the pet rechem of the cow. It's a pasha din, it's a bechor. Ella, the Gemara says, no, this is the shaila. Bilaso, votsiaso, v'chnisaso, v'kiaso. The situation where this chulda swallowed the uber and from the rechem of the mother, and then apparently put it back inside the rechem of the cow, and then it came out again a second time, v'yatsa me'elav, then came out naturally, mahu, what's the din here? So the first case is when it swallowed it up, it wasn't a bechor. It stuck the chulda's mouth, went inside the rechem of the cow, so in which case it never touched the rechem. So now the chulda first swallows the uber, the calf, from the cow's rechem, and then spits it back inside the cow's stomach. Then it's born naturally. Could we say that it could be rehabilitated the second time around? It could be reborn and be bechor. So mahu, what's it in that case? Another situation. Hidbik shnei rechamim. There are two wombs that are attached to each other, one animal to another animal. So it goes from cow A, the mother, and it goes to the rechem now of cow B. Cow A is the mother that's raising this calf inside. But it goes from cow A's rechem to cow B. Mahu, what's the din? And then the cow B gives birth to a child that's not, no, to a calf that's not its own calf. Now this is actually very relevant for halach lemais, if a mother is, let's say, impregnated with someone else's egg, she's holding someone else's egg, so does she, and she gives birth to it, can it be peter rechem of her own? So this is a case where cow B is giving birth to cow A's calf. So that's an interesting model for that conversation. So what's the din? Do we say didei pater? Only the cow A, the natural mother's birth, only her rechem will make this into a bechor, but the lav didei, but it's not the right one. Lo pater, cow B's rechem won't have the ability. Oh Dilma, the lav didei nami pater, or maybe even its own mother could still create a pet the rechem. Even that could create a bechor. That's the shaila. So we see, even though this doesn't seem so relevant, we could at least extrapolate some principle and apply it to a very halach lemaisa case of a situation where a surrogate mother. The Gemara says, take. We don't have any answers to any of the questions above. Boy Rav Ach asks a different question now. Niftechu kosle beis harechem. Let the kosle beis harechem open up very wide, whereby the calf comes out without touching any part of the rechem of the cow. So do we say avir rechem makadesh, that the airspace is enough to makadesh the bechor being born for ha'ika, and that exists in this case even though the rechem is very wide? Oh Dilma, perhaps we should say negias rechem makadesh, or it should be touching only when it touches the kosei rechem. In this case, it doesn't touch the kosei rechem. The Gemara asks another question. What if the birth canal were somehow torn off? So there's no canal there anymore. There's no rechem, but the child, the calf, is born anyways. Will that be a bechor? Nekru. Gemara says nekru, if it was uprooted, less nail, there's nothing there to speak of. That's not even a shaila. Of course, it won't be a kadosh. Just like having a yotzei dofen, a C-section that doesn't go through the rechem, that won't be kadosh. If there is no rechem, it's been removed, it's nekru, that certainly would not be a bechor. So the Gemara says, Ella, what the shaila was here, nekru v'salule b'tzavare. So what happens if the rechem was uprooted, but now it attached itself to the neck of the calf that's inside? So the calf is born now with its mother's rechem around its neck. Will that be my, what's the din here? Do we say that bimkomo mekadesh, the rechem's only be mekadesh in its proper place? But shelo bimkomo, if it's not in the proper place, namely it's around the neck of the fetus, lo mekadesh? Oh, Dilma, perhaps we should say, we don't care where the rechem is. If the animal passes through, the calf passes through the rechem, whether it's in the right place or not the right place, it should be a bechor. So the Gemara leaves that as an open question as well. Asks the Gemara further. Let's say the walls of the Beis HaRechem were peeled away. What's the halacha? So Gemara says, Amar lei, kenegata b'baya d'baylan. You are inquiring, you are dealing with the same question that we dealt with. What does that mean? Rabbi Zeira asked of Rabbi Yasi, Omed Meruba al Parts, Vyata Derech Parts. So Omed Meruba al Parts are dinim when it comes to Eruvim. When you have a wall, you have a string that goes around. So let's say Omed is referring to the wall, Parts is referring to gaps. So let's say there's more. Omed is Meruba, there's more wall than there are gaps. So part of the Beis HaRechem had been removed, but part of it remains. So there's more Amud, there's more Beis HaRechem than there's not Beis HaRechem. And the animal goes through the parts area, through a gap where there is no Rechem, to be viewed as being Amud. So let's say I've got a wall. As long as I've got more wall, by an error for a second, as long as I've got more wall than gap, we halachically view the gap as being closed, being walled. So do we say the same thing by Rechem? If part of the Rechem is missing, since most of it's intact, do we view that gap as being closed halachically, and even though the calf goes through the gap and physically didn't touch a Rechem, do we view that as touching it because halachically Omed is Meruba al parts? That's question one, Rabbi Zeir was asked. Question number two, parts Meruba al HaOmed. Let's say most of it's been breached. If I've got a wall by an Eir, that most of it's open, then it won't be a good wall. We view that even the walled area as not being walled anymore. So what happens in this case if its parts is Meruba al HaOmed? If more is breached than not, V'yatza derech HaOmed, but it goes through where the Rechem was. It touches the base of Rechem in this case, but do you view halachically, since most of it is removed, even the Omud is considered not being there as well? These are two questions Rabbi Zeir is dealing with. And so Gemara says, Ad kan lo I barilai ela parts Meruba al HaOmed. The only shada was really when there is more parts, there is more gap, more breaches than the wall itself. Dika omid ba'olam, because there exists some omid, there's some wall, there's some beis rechem in the world. Aval nigmimu, if it's a case where the beis rechem was entirely removed, lo komi barilai, that was never such a shayla. So these were a list of very interesting questions which don't seem very halacha l'maisa, are unanswered, but we can pull out some important principles to things that are very halacha l'maisa. Let's go now to Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells from the very top here. Behema shemesa, animal that died, ubra, shemesa ubra, rather, that the fetus died inside the cow, inside the mother. Besoch me'eha, inside. Behoshit haroa, the shepherd, that's what Rambam, rather, Tosafot is writing before. The shepherd sticks its hand inside the cow, as yodo, benagabo, and touches the uber. So normally we know a nevela, a dead animal, is a tumas maga. So you would think that roa should be tame. So the Mishnah tells us, bein bebehema tame, whether the animal is a non-kosher animal, whether it's a kosher animal, tahor, he does not become tamei. There is no tumas maga bivalua. When it's balua, when the nevela is absorbed, it's swallowed in something else, it does not create any tumah. There's a shita of Rabbi Kiva who thinks tumah balua is metame, even though there's tamei that's inside something, it can create tumah. We'll see Rashi in just a moment how even he'll agree in this case. So again, according to the Tanakhama, if there's a dead fetus inside the animal, if one were to touch it, whether it's a kosher or non-kosher animal, the roa remains tahor. Comes along Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah Aglili, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, b'tmei atamei hu b'tahor tahor. He's mechalik. If the animal is a non-kosher animal and the nevela is inside, one would be tamei, but if it's a kosher animal, one would not be tamei. So what's the svara behind this machlokas? The Gemara says, my time at the Tanakhama. Why does Tanakhama think you're not metame if the uber is dead inside the mother? So Amar Rav Chista, kavachomer. It's a kavachomer. What's a kavachomer? Im ho'ila imo latir bachila. We know that if one were to shech the mother of this animal, it would certainly be effective on the uber that's inside. It would be a ben pekua. So the shechita works that the wall that the mother keeps the uber inside allows the shechita to be effective on the uber itself. So would we say, lo to'il lo l'tora midei nevela, would not protect that animal also for inside from being metame as well? So we see that there's this protection that the mother gives, bein l'shchita, bein l'tuma, and that's why there's no tuma so long as the animal is inside the mother. And Rashi says, even Rabbi Kiva, who normally holds tuma's belua, is metame, in this case he would agree, because since we're referring to a behema, and shchita's work on behema, also on the child, so too he's going to agree with work to protect the child from creating any tumah. That's everyone would agree to that. That's the first understanding. Mara says, okay, that all makes sense. Ashkechan, Behema Torah, where Behema Torah is subject to shechita, a kosher animal, you could do shechita. So once you have shechita, that works, so certainly it would protect from tumah. But Behema Temeh Aminolim, there is no count of the shechita by a non-kosher animal. So you don't have the Kal V'chomer anymore to apply it to the non-kosher animal. So the Gemara says, Amakra, the pasuk says, V'chiyomus mina behema, zu behema temeya. When an animal dies, that's a nevela, that's referring to a non-kosher animal. It says further in the pasuk, Ashahi lachem, that's for you, la'achla, to eat, what's permitted for you to eat, zu behema tahora. So we see in the pasuk, both a behema temeya and a behema tahora are implied, that there is tumas nevela equally. So the Gemara says, Iskash behema temeya, le behema tahora. There's a hekesh between a non-kosher animal and a kosher animal, ma behema tahora, ubra tahor, just like a behema tahora, we've established by the Kal V'chomer above that just like shechita of the mother works for the child, so too the mother can protect it from creating any tumah. So just like that halacha is true by a behema Torah, through this hekish in the pasuk af behema temeya ubra tahor, that by a non-kosher animal the mother protects the dead uber from being mitame at all. So that's the svara, the drasha, the kavachomer of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, my time, what's his reasoning? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak explains as follows. Damar Kra, there's a pasuk that tells us, V'chol holech al kapav, an animal that works on kapav. A kapav is a palm, a paw, that doesn't have split hooves. So it's a non-kosher animal to start with. V'chol holech al kapav, b'chol hachaya, b'chol, that's in a chaya. B'chol means referring to an uber, a chaya, b'chol, inside another chaya, ha'olechas v'gomer. So we see from here that the halacha tells us, the pasuk tells us, where the pasuk, it tells us in the end, v'chol holech al kapav, b'chol hachaya, ha'olechas al arba, arba, that walks on four legs, t'meim heim lachem, the tamei, kol ha'nogea b'nivlasim, anyone who touches it as a nevela. So this talking about the dead behema t'meim. So Gemara darshins. Mahalche kapayim b'chaya t'meisi lecha, only mahalche kapayim, only a non-kosher animal that walks on paws, not split hooves, that's inside another chaya, is t'meya, says the pasuk. But if it's a kosher animal inside another kosher animal, it would be tahor. That's the chilek that Rabbi Yossi understands. So Elam Yatev, that's the case, says the Gemara, it's about mahalche kapayim inside mahalche kapayim, right? It's a non-kosher animal with paws inside another non-kosher animal. So then it's four-legged animal inside a four-legged animal. El miata, call it b'mei para l'tame. We should say, if a cow gives birth to a non-split-hooved calf, we should say, a call it b'mei para, it should be b'tame as well, de mahalche kapayim b'chayehu. It's a mahalche kapayim, it's a four-legged animal, right? A split-hooved animal we view as eight legs, even though it's four, but the hooves make it just two, so it's now eight legs. So now this case of a call it b'mei para is a halche kapayim b'chayah. Isn't it a case of a four-legged animal inside another animal? So Gemara says, "Mahalche kapayim, mahalche arba." So no, Gemara says, "No, you need a mahalche kapayim, b'mahalche arba. You need a four-legged animal inside a four-legged animal." Behind this situation of the kulit in Meipara is mahalche arba, b'mahalche shmona. The four-legged animal inside an eight-legged animal, and that's not b'chal pasuk. Our pasuk only implies four-legged animal inside a four-legged animal. Gemara says, "Fine. How about a para b'mei gamal lo titame?" A cow that's born from a camel, which means a camel has a child, whatever you call a baby camel, with split hooves. Camels don't have split hooves. But this gives birth to a split-hooved animal. So now we're going to say, since it's an eight-legged animal inside a four-legged animal, we should say it's not tame. Para b'mei gamal lo titame. The mahalche shmona b'mahalche arbahu. Holech. It's an eight-legged animal inside a four-legged animal, and that should be tahor then. Gemara says no, because v'chol holech, the pasuk is v'chol holech is extra in the pasuk, that's coming l'rabos para b'mei gamal. That includes even a cow or an eight-legged animal inside a gamal. Let's say you have, call it b'mei kluta l'tame. B'mahalche arba, b'mahalche arba. Let's say you have a calf inside a cow, but both the calf and the cow don't have split hooves. So even though they are, biologically, scientifically, they're cows and calves respectively, but the hooves are not split, it's call it b'mei kluta, so shouldn't that be a four-legged animal inside a four-legged animal? And that should become tameh, based on the pasuk above it, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And our answer is, l'hachi ahanei kavachomer de Rav Chista. That's Rav Chista's kavachomer, meaning what? We're talking about a cow. This cow, although it only has four legs to it, meaning the hooves aren't split, it's still a kosher animal and you could shecht it. So once you shecht the mother, that will be effective on the calf as well that's inside. So too, just like the mother that protects from the tumah, it's going to protect the tumah as well. That's where the kavachomer comes in. Even Rabbi Yossi Aglili will agree to that din. But we see from all this is Rabbi Yossi's drasha that chol holech al kapav b'chol achaya, only by a tuma of behema temeya will be metame if it's balua, but by behema tahora, that which is balua will not be metame. So Gemara asks the question, maskula Rabbi Avchtavai bar Ami, a chazer b'mei chazirasa lo letame. We know that cows, rather pigs, have split hooves. That's not a four-legged animal, that's an eight-legged animal. So we'd say it should not be metame de mahalche shmona be mahalche shmona. That's an eight-legged animal inside an eight-legged animal, and there shouldn't be any tumah in that case. So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak. We're rejecting Rav Yitzchak's drasha. We no longer embrace the pasuk of chol holech al kapav. Rather, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, his son, I'm not sure if his son or someone else, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak gives another drasha, how we know the shita of Rabbi Yosef Lili. Mehacha. It says in the pasuk, nefesh kisiga b'chol tameh, the person touches anything tameh, or benivlas chaya tmeya, a dead wild animal, a non-kosher wild animal, or benivlas behema tmeya, or a domesticated dead non-kosher animal like a camel, or benivlas sheretz tameh, or a dead sheretz, he's tameh. So Gemara says, wait a second, why is the pasuk here only give an example of a chaya tmeya and a behema tmeya? V'chi nivlas behema tmeya metameh? Uvitahora lo metame? You're telling me only a nevela of a non-kosher animal is a nevela and metame, but a nevela of a kosher animal like a cow won't be metame? Everyone agrees that nivlas behema Torah is kosher. So how come the pasuk doesn't give that example? Ela eizazeh zeuber shebetimeya tame uvitahora tahor. This pasuk isn't referring to the mother animal itself, it's referring to the uber that's inside the mother. And that's why the pasuk only says behema tameya, because only the uber of a behema tameya could be metame while in the mother's womb. But a uber of a behema tahora is not metame. That's the difference. And this is the drasha of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Gemara says now, me'acher, after the fact, the nafkalei midir Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that we use this beautiful drasha of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Rabbi Yitzchak Lomeli, the Shita Rabbi Yitzchak above, who learned the drasha which we rejected though, but he still had a drasha of Chol Holech Al Kapav. What do we learn from that pasuk? And so he says, "Ilav de Rabbi Yitzchak." Have we not had the drasha of Rabbi Yitzchak above? Hava mina kula lechaderebihu to asa. We would have learned the drasha here of nefesh kisiga b'choltame and so on, like the shita of Rebbe. We haven't seen Rebbe shita yet. It's going to be in a couple of days from now, so we have to just tomorrow's daf. We'll wait for it. But there's a whole other drasha Rebbe. We'd have learned like Rebbe. Kamashvlan Rabbi Yitzchak allows us to learn the drasha of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Those two work together to make such a drasha. Fine. Gemara now tells us last few lines of the Amud here. Tanya says the Braisa. Amir of Yonasan. Rav Yonasan says, Namtili leben Azai. So I was speaking to him. Ben Azai was once said, Lamanu, that we learned as follows. As I said to Ben Azai, Lamanu, we learned Nivlas Behema Torah, Shemetama, that a nevela of a Behema Torah, a kosher animal that died, it's metame. And we also learned Nivlas Behema Temea, Shemetama, a non kosher animal that's dead is also metame. Nivlas chai tamea shemetama. We learn that a non-kosher wild animal is metame, such as a lion, let's say. Nivlas chaya tahora lo lamanu. But we never learned a kosher wild animal, whether that one's dead is metame, like a deer. A deer is kosher animal. It's a chaya because it's wild. How do we know if that deer is dead? If it's an avela, that's metame as well. Minayin, what's the source? So namli, Benazai explained to me, kol holech hakapa b'chol chaya haolechas. So that pasuk refers to every wild animal that walks on four feet. That's going to be including it. So nam tili. So I said to him, v'chi nemar v'chochaya. Does it say v'chochaya? V'alom no nemar elo b'chochaya. It's a b'chochaya referring to an animal that's inside another animal, not an actual chaya. The mahalche kapayim b'chaya hudas. It's referring to a halche kapayim, a chaya that's inside another chaya, an uber. So namli, Ben Azai said back to me, ma yishmo omer b'davar zeh. What did Yishmael say about such a matter? So Nam Tilo, so he went to Rabbi Yishmael, and V'chi Yamos Min HaBehema, he quoted the pasuk, Zu Behema Temeya. Asha Hi Lachem Lachem, that's for you to eat, referring to Behema Tehora. That both animals are Behemas, are going to be Metame, V'sin Avela. So Lamanu, we know elsewhere, the Chaya Bechlal Behema, who Behema Bechlal Chaya. We learn elsewhere that whenever you say Chaya, it really implies Behema as well. And whenever it says Behema, it really includes Chaya as well. So we see from here, Chaya Tahora Bechla Behema Torah, and Chaya Temeya Bechla Behema Temeya. They're all including each other. And Behema Betemeya Bechla Chaya Temeya, Behema Torah Bechla Chaya Torah. They're all included. Every permutation, they're all there. Ubelashanata Amrli, Chaval al Benazi Shlo Yushima Shes Rebbe Yishmael. So Chaval that Benazi never learned by Rebbe Yishmael to learn to the Drasha, and that's how we know. Even though we don't have a straight, a direct source for Chaya Tahora, we know Behema includes Chaya, Chaya includes Behema, all the permutations are true, and that's how we know all four types of animals will create Tumas Nevela. Okay, good Chodesh.